Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at Folk on KBN.
You know, the true Packer backer that I thought Kyle Wallace was, I thought he wouldn't be able to muster up courage to do that.
Did you see me exhale before I did it?
I did.
I gathered yourself.
That was the fakest 414 Hour I ever did. I had to just muster it up for KBN Nation because this is malarkey.
This is malarkey.
Because y'all know what I want to say. This is a malarkey.
Yeah.
Am I happy? Am I happy at all? And Jason made it worse. I don't know. He's both. The hell you mean he both? He hurt
Brandon
and
Mattis.
Struggling? The hell? Get his ass up out of there then. What you mean?
Yeah, the whole Brandon McManus thing going back to the thesaurus.
It's been a mess.
What a weird situation.
Last week he says he doesn't talk to kickers.
It's just ridiculous.
It's very silly.
And the way that Matt LaFleur has handled the kicking situation the whole time has been really bungled, right? I mean, yes, Goody plays a role in drafting, you know, Anders Carlson and making the moves and whatever, but it's not like Matt LaFleur really created an environment for these guys to succeed. And now he's saying he doesn't talk to kickers. He can't really get on the same page with Brandon McManus with an injury. It's just very bizarre. Very bizarre.
Is it hard to figure out if somebody's hurt or not? Like, isn't there like you have to be honest when you're a football player, right? Hey,
well, no,
I'm feeling about 75%.
No, football players are going to say, I feel great. I can go do my job.
Okay, Brandon, I know I don't talk to kickers, but what's going on? You seem to be below average. You remind me of Anders Carlson since you came back. Are you healthy? Are you okay? Because if you ain't okay, we had to get rid of the guy that sucked before you. So.
Well, I think you lean on the medical staff. And the Packers medical staff are fairly conservative.
Not in this sense. Because Lucas had me thinking that he was a miracle. Like, what's going on here? 61 yards. Franchise record.
We'll see how this plays out throughout the week. I don't think this is the end of the conversation.
Dude, you have fans like Strofe saying, oh, well, maybe your kicker, he missed the field goal, so maybe that's why you don't go for it. That's why you go for it on fourth down, because he can't make a 31-yard field goal.
Nah, I don't think that was it. He definitely
played into it.
He cited going to his analytics guy look at the win success rate of going forward or kicking it.
Matt LaFleur actually said, I don't talk to kickers. Maybe this is just a specialist talking. That's so immature. You're a head football coach. They put points on the board. You got to know the pulse of your team. You got to know what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
To just say, I don't talk to them like we're in the 80s and we're tough for football guys. That's ridiculous.
It was Matt LaFleur's.
It's 2025 and they score points.
It was his favorite holiday for Halloween. He got to be all these different people.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur. We're going to hear from a different head coach. And look, I want to start by saying I know these head coaches are different, but it's just interesting to see a perspective of two different head coaches after a loss. Let's start with Matt LaFleur after the loss against the Panthers.
Give credit to Carolina. They played the game that they had to play in order to beat us in regards to trying to run the football consistently throughout the course of the game and just make us dink and dunk the ball down the field, which we were able to move the ball, and then played good defense in the red zone. We had the two turnovers, missed a field goal. So we did enough things just, you know, we deservedly got our ass beat.
That was Matt LaFleur. This was Dan Campbell after the Lions lost to the Minnesota Vikings.
Everything we needed to do to lose that game, we made every critical error you needed to at the right time to lose it. Perfect storm. You know, when you don't play well in all three phases, that falls on the head coach. That's me. So I did not have him ready coming out of a bye. You know, we weren't we made too many critical errors, man. Some of our discipline, the penalties caught up to us. We just, man, there were some things we were out of sync. We'd never looked comfortable, you know, and we just didn't make enough plays.
You know.
I mean, there's one guy who takes accountability and just, you know, he wears it. And that's, you know, Dan Campbell. But that's the guy who had to build the culture, right? He set the culture. Matt LaFleur came in and he kind of just cruised with the culture the Packers had with Aaron Rodgers here. There's a difference.
It goes back to the conversation of, like, it simply, and I do want to know this, and this is not a, like, full pick on Matt LaFleur thing. Play calling, leadership, game situation, execution. Like, when you look at Matt LaFleur, what do you think his strength is as a head coach? And actually, I want to answer this. Everyone's got to answer. Everyone's got to pick the thing that they believe that Matt LaFleur is best at as a head coach.
Well, it's play calling. He was hired to basically try to resurrect Aaron Rodgers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers was struggling. He was this young offensive guru from the Shanahan tree, Shanahan McVay, McVay tree, technically, I suppose. So it is play calling. And he seemed to be a great marriage with Aaron Rodgers, right? It hummed. And even Jordan Love, it does feel like that's plateaued or descended. So I can't choose any of the other ones. Like that is his thing. He's supposed to be an offensive mind. So if there's anything he's supposed to be great at and that you could say he's great at, it's play calling. But after games like yesterday, you wonder where
I found this one interesting. Stacey in the 414 on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. LaFleur's playbook, and not necessarily the playbook, but I see his overall point, is resembling Mike McCarthy the last two seasons. Dry.
Well, so I was wondering that because when he came off the scene.
Different systems. Yeah. But,
the league catches up. The league catches up because, like, Shanahan, McVay, they've figured out ways to keep it fresh and to find new players and new ways to continue to score points and get yardage and be unpredictable, right, in the good sense of the way. Matt LaFleur, so far this year, the last couple of years, it's not as red hot as it once was, and I just wonder if the league has caught up and if he hasn't adjusted out of it because it does seem like he's trying things. Like, he's like, let's just try jet sweeps. Let's try lateral screens. Let's try this, like, you know, disjointed run game that should lead to passing game. It's just, it seems like he's trying things, which it doesn't lead me to believe he has a great plan. He doesn't feel confident about it.
Strofe, what do you believe in most with Matt LaFleur as a head coach?
Yeah, it probably would have been play calling, but that feels
yucky.
Wrong. Yeah, yucky.
It's
probably
a bad time
word.
To say that.
Yeah, bad time to say it. But I agree with Brad. I think his points are correct. I'd go with something, and if we went more specific, just like scheming guys open would probably be that. But again,
this is
a
really
yucky.
Inspiring conversation.
It feels
right
a little
now.
Well. Obviously, it feels yucky coming off of a loss, but I think like second half of in Pittsburgh, you could feel good about it. Even prior to this year, the first year of Jordan Love, you feel good about it. But yeah, it's been a discouraging year to talk about me sounding encouraging. It's been a discouraging year for just about everything you feel good about him, which is why I think fans believe he should be on the hot seat.
Kyle. Yeah, I mean, everybody said it's play calling because it absolutely is play calling, but something that he needs to be better at, he definitely needs to be better at just overall going into the game, or what the game plan is going to be. I think one of y'all mentioned it earlier, the games last year where they played against the Colts and they played against the Titans, where you had in Malik Willis, you knew you had to run the football, you had to use the ground. And when Malik Willis was in there, he just had him be a game manager, right? He made sure he had all the easy throws. He tried to simplify it as much as possible for him. I'm not saying simplify for for Jordan Love. What I'm saying is we need to figure out what is the identity going to be. Are we going to run the dang football or are we going to pass the dang football? And then figure it out from there. But I just think that he needs to come up with a game plan of how do I want to attack? What is the identity of this football team going to be? Is it going to be, you know what, we're going to take a lot of shots, we're going to try to score many points, or we're going to ground and pound and play action fake it and dink and dump? He has to figure out what this is going to be, but he is a good play caller, but he just needs to figure out what he wants the identity of this ball team to be. And I think a lot of that can be, honestly, I'm going to lean on trying to get that run game going and let Jordan Love pick people apart on the short game and take what they give to you deep, because I believe what you saw against the Carolina Panthers of them taking away the deep explosive plays is what they're going to see. So now they need to just be patient, right? Don't go chasing, as he said, the big plays. Take what they give you, go underneath, and win the ball game by moving the sticks, moving the chains.
Well, Ben, real quick before you go, I said play calling, and I believe that. But sometimes I just wonder, like, is he calling plays, and you said scheming guys open. I feel like he's not working to their strengths, right? I mean, I feel like we're not running the ball in such a way that leans to Josh Jacobs' strengths. I feel like Jordan Love is so good in the intermediate passing game, like 7 to 17 yards. How many times do we see Romeo Doubs across the middle or an out route that hits with really good rhythm on the outside? Mm-hmm. I mean, all the time we see that. But we're going short, 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 long. I don't think either of those benefit this offense. So I just wonder, like, are we doing things that are really gearing towards your guy's strength?
And if Jordan Love is doing something you don't want him to do within the offense, going short, 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 and then taking a long shot, it is your responsibility as the head football coach to say, Jordan, don't do that. Be patient. You need to make sure you are coaching and mentoring him up because Jordan Love is still early in his career. And so you need to make sure if Jordan Love is heating
the
ball.
I don't know how much longer we can use early in his career.
He's still, it's his third year as a starter. So that's
But he sat around and got to watch and learn. Look.
I think that's fair.
Jordan gets antsy. I don't know if y'all can.
We were calling him MVP candidate last week.
Yeah, at the time.
So glad we didn't place anyone on that one.
Things change quickly. But again, I put a lot of that on his head football coach because he has to look him in the eye. He has to have confidence in him. But I need for him to have more command of this football team and specifically of his quarterback to say, this is what we're going to do. This is what my expectations are. Don't you throw that ball up there again. Matter of fact, on 4th and 8, when Jordan Love was running for his life and threw the ball like that, Matt LaFleur should have been standing on the sideline with his hands on his hips. You know, when mama coming out, well, y'all may not know, but you walk and you see somebody with their hands on the hip like, what in the hell was that? What were you doing? He needs some of that. He needs somebody to kind of be like, hey, be smarter. That
was
just
but
stupid.
I would have been like, you're an idiot. Kick the field goal.
That's very true. A little bit of friction. Fair.
What are you saying to me? Don't throw the ball. If you had me run around with my head cut off and then nobody got open, so I had to do something.
And you know what Matt Flores said? You know what? That's fair. That's fair. We both messed up. Pat on the back to us.
Collective pat on the back.
We both messed up
on
this
one.
But no, they both need to be better, and the expectations have to be higher because the schedule gets tougher, and I need this team to execute better. And again, I believe it starts with Matt LaFleur game plan and getting these guys ready. He showed us what he can do against the Titans last year, against the Colts last year. Now we need to see that type of game plan, that strategic of a game plan for the rest of the season.
You'd think it'd be easier with more talent. Not that Malik Willis isn't like
no. When you have
he's
more talent, when you have more talent, then you feel like
more
all
should
right,
be
well,
more should be possible.
I could open things up and try a little bit. He had to play it super tight because he understood that
Malik
Willis was
ago.
Limited. He knew Malik was limited, right? So he had to devise some great game plans. I don't think he's put together magnificent game plans enough this season for the
Packers. I for damn sure would not touch game situation time management as a strength. For damn sure, execution and discipline. The timely penalties, I mean, goodness gracious. They should be running laps for, like, whoever makes that mistake. Like, send a message, like, something. So it's too often. Christian Watson makes a great play down the field, and they literally just beat themselves up, pushing the ball out of the red zone. Out of the red zone. It's like, all right, there you go. Like that was the connection. You this is what everyone was excited for, bringing Christian Watson back. Contested catch. Like you're like, all right, damn, Christian, we missed you. And then you get nothing. Absolutely nothing. Leadership and culture.
No,
you have to say it. Silence speak for itself.
The culture is a little bit too laid back.
Rashid Walker. Is your culture going to have somebody saying 17-0?
Dude, I don't. I think that's so overblown, talking about 17 damn and all. Like, what is he supposed to say? Oh, we're focused on it. No, man, listen, we feeling good.
It's pretty ridiculous to say.
It's ridiculous.
And then they went
say,
and lost.
His comments didn't determine that they're going to lose that football game.
It's a mindset.
You think he had that mindset? Like, oh, it's going to be easy to go against Myles Garrett? Heck, no.
He said even last year they should have been that.
Well, good. I want him to think they're supposed to be undefeated. That's what I want my guy to think. Is, well, we should win every single game.
That's it's immaturity, though, right? It's an immature response.
I think we're looking far too into what a left tackle said.
No, it's about the message of your head coach being able to ensure that they're on the same page.
Oh,
you
okay.
echo
so,
the same
so
boring
a guy
messages.
Saying, so a guy saying 17-0 is going to keep him from winning a Super Bowl. Got it.
It's not, but it goes to, again, your reflection of your head coach and what people say externally matters based off of what the internal message is.
Yeah, Belichick never wrote that slide.
AJ Brown was on the sideline reading a book. And they still won a Super Bowl. People were talking about that. They were pouting. Was that?
They have ridiculous talent.
They do have ridiculous talent. I'm just saying, I don't think we should be overblowing somebody's comments and saying that's poor leadership. That's just a guy sitting there just speaking.
It's cumulative, right? Because what would you say is the team's culture?
No, I would say the team's culture is way too laid back. I think the players have entirely too. They're too calm. I don't feel like they get on edge around Matt. I feel like sometimes when Ben talks
healthy
about it with
fear.
Ben talks about with Bo Ryan. I like when somebody gets upset and get mad. Like Savion Williams should have been shaking in his boots after he fumbled yesterday. He should have been like, "Oh my gosh, I may not go back in the game." And they should have benched him. You know why? To teach him a lesson early in his career that we aren't going to allow that to happen. You killed our momentum. This football game literally probably looks different if he does not fumble. The Packers were driving to score and go up early on their first drive, go up 7-0. He fumbles, he kills momentum, and now we're in a dang dogfight.
Yeah.
And we lost. We lost the dang dogfight.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
Oh, my gosh. It's just I'm just stunned. At halftime, I was thinking like, okay, we're down, but here we go. We're doing the same thing. We're down by a point. The Packers are going to come back. It's ugly, but we'll be okay. And he panicked. Like, Matt LaFleur panicked. He went for it on 4th and 8 after losing like 4 yards. That is a panic move with 11 minutes left in the dang fourth quarter in the game and you're playing the Panthers. The Panthers' offense wasn't just like dominant. They were able to move the chains, but they weren't able to finish drives either. And you panicked. And you lost us the game because of your panic. The Packers are going to make the field goal, get the ball back, and score a touchdown and be up. But nope, your coach got all worried and concerned and panicked.
Were you looking outside your home with tears?
I wish I was looking outside my home. I was at a bar for the game. But when I got home, I did touch on my windows and say, "You always make me feel good." Just like you can do the same thing. And we're deep into the fall now. And if you've been putting off those home improvement projects, this is your reminder. The cold weather is on the way. It's going to be cold next week. And one of the smartest upgrades you can make is replacing those old drafty windows before the winter hits. Universal Windows Direct is making it easier than ever to do exactly that. When you buy 2 windows, you get 2 free with no limit, and that alone is a great deal, but it gets even better. 36 months of 0% financing with equal monthly payments, same as cash, and a $500 bonus off your next home improvement project. Don't wait until it's freezing outside and your furnace is running overtime. Lock in your savings and upgrade your home today by calling 414-410-2000 or visit UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free in-home estimate. And like me, you'll be saying, KBN Nation, I love my windows.
Speaking of 4th and 8, have an update on why Matt LaFleur decided to go for it.
Wait a minute. He just said something new?
Something I want to share with you. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
I was like, it's the 414 hour at 4.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like the kid who like got picked on the sports team. I was like, oh, you want me? No way.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I know that there's more time left in the game, but thought we had a play that we liked that potentially could score, and it didn't work out. So that's just part of the risk of it. If it doesn't work out, it's going to get second guessed. And I had our guys take a look at just the probabilities, and it was like a 1% difference in regards to win percentage. So not that it makes you feel any better. I mean, it didn't work out, so it is what it is. Yeah.
Matt LaFleur today at his press conference, when asked about 4th and 8, 1% difference in win probability. Now, we have a big-time research guy, football analytics probability guru. And Josh DiMaggio, producer of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, host of Mr. Irrelevant with Strofe. Did he bring this stat up to you, Strofe, on Mr. Irrelevant?
I don't believe so.
He texted us, and he had said, put the scenario down 7, 4th and 8, 13 yards from the opponent end zone, situation, field goal attempt, 37% win percentage. Go for it. 34% win percentage. That's a 3% difference in win percentage, according to Josh DiMaggio. I also looked at some replies to a tweet from Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, who put this quote out, and there was one that popped up that had a 5%. I guess percentages aside, pretty hard for me to listen to. We had a play we thought we could score after you get pushed back and you hadn't had success in the red zone, how am I supposed to buy? How are fans supposed to buy that you had the play on 4th and 8 to score? That's the part of the audio from him a second ago that's frustrating.
He thought Christian Watson was going to be open on the post.
Just like that. I will say, moody Matt LaFleur is one of my favorite versions of Matt LaFleur. He did not look like he wanted to entertain that question. But the reality is, if the play unfolded and it like went through a receiver's hands or like something like that, I'd be like, you know what? I get it. You're risking it. It seemed to work out. It seemed like to be confidence in the play, but people are human. The play was an utter debacle. I mean, it was among there was a lot of plays you could point to in this game where you're scratching your head and you're like, "What are we doing out there?" And that's probably top three. So the fact that that is what happens on a 4th and 8 play, I get plays can be broken, but you try to pick plays in critical moments that are as foolproof as possible, right? I mean, and I think the Packers looked like fools out there. So
I was asking if the Panthers were fools.
Oh.
No, they were probably like, oh, wow, okay, go right ahead.
We're just going to do this.
Do we understand that 8 yards is not easy to get? You get 4 chances to get 10 yards, and the Green Bay Packers only got 2.
And this is the 13-yard line, so everything's very condensed.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
so it
condensed.
Makes it even harder to get. This was a foolish,
and they actually, on the broadcast, I thought did a great job of showing some of the struggles that the Packers were having in the red zone based off of the way that the Panthers were playing in that red zone. They had guys literally littered across the end zone, and they were saying, you have to put it in front of us in order to get in the red zone, into the end zone.
And Matt LaFleur said, or maybe it was Jason Wilde that Matt LaFleur said, but they were playing 2 high safeties, yep, a lot of the game, right? Everything becomes condensed. That's why they felt like they had to dink and dunk it down the field. You can't dink and dunk 8 yards. So getting you there is the short passes, you're getting small chunks, all of a sudden you need a fairly large chunk, and you're not succeeding at that, and they're defending against that, and analytics tell you not to do that, and the play was a complete debacle. It's just, I don't know. You compare that to the Dan Campbell audio we played earlier in the show where he said, that's on me, like fully. Everything across the board. That was a bad call by me. I mean, it sounds like Matt LaFleur is basically like, it's just the flip of the coin, and you never know how these things are going to work out.
And the thing is, you have to understand about flow, right, and momentum. The Green Bay Packers obviously did not have momentum going into that play. And again, they called a timeout. They had to pause. They didn't have exactly what they needed in order to have the right momentum to finish the team off. So it was just a bad play call. The offense wasn't humming. The defense of the Carolina Panthers was playing well against your offense. You didn't have any advantages, and you weren't really pressed, right? When you went for it later, the next time you got the ball, I believe it was 4th and 3, and Malik Heath caught the pass for like 11 yards. You had to go for it at that point, but you had a whole lot more of the field to work with where guys were dropping back and maybe guys could sneak open to pick up that 3 yards. And so
they were playing the same way that I remember watching that play. I was like, all right, they got that one. Because they're playing soft and back.
Exactly. And so, again, it's just very bad on Matt LaFleur. And he definitely has to be kicking himself because he should be better than that. And I'll keep saying, our quarterback in Jordan Love deserves better than that. He does.
He deserves better than Matt LaFleur putting him in a spot to have to make a play in 4th and 8?
Yes, he deserves better than a head football coach who decided that was the right thing to do at that moment. He put Jordan Love
just
in a terrible
situation. Just that moment or the entire game?
Multiple moments, but he put Jordan Love in a bad situation at that point. And again, I think it's just reflective of who Matt LaFleur is, and that's why the football team lost. He's too indecisive.
Strofe, you've been working the phones very quiet today. What kept you up at night?
Oh, you know the answer.
Sending Brad a little meme to post, huh? You having a lot of fun giggling and sniggling yesterday.
No, I just want our content creators to create content.
Giggling and sniggling. Oh, we're going to post this. I was so mad at that. Y'all don't understand. I wanted him to say, shut up! Be what? Mad.
Are you calling into question Strofe's fanhood?
Yeah, very much so. He was happy, wow. Was he not? Wasn't he happy? He was just, hey, Brad.
Happy.
Hey, Brad, we were going to post this. Post it, Brad. Dig at me more, Brad.
I'm not going to interact with this. The thing that kept me up at night was Tucker Kraft. I watched Matt LaFleur's press conference last night, as I always do.
As you go to bed?
Yeah, it kept me up. No bedtime after that one.
No bedtime after what one?
After watching that press conference.
So hang on.
I'm wearing glasses today for a reason.
Did you watch the press conference live?
Or did you wait
to do it before bed?
I waited to do it until I was in bed.
What's the thing with you watching the press conference right before bed?
Because usually I'm spending time with my girlfriend, and she goes to bed before I do. So like I'm trying to not think about work / the Packers.
You have headphones in?
No.
Really? She sleeps through it, huh?
I play it on the TV.
Okay.
Oh, wow. In our room. Yeah.
Wow. What besides Tucker Craft? Because I get that, but like, what about Tucker? What besides that?
Well, I think it's related to that. I'm really down on the team right now. Not in terms of I don't think they're good or I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but I'm really questioning whether or not they have a championship identity, which I wasn't questioning prior to yesterday. I thought the Browns loss. So I may have texted you guys. I don't remember who I texted this to. But the Browns loss was for sure the most discouraging of the season. In fact, in recent memory, because the Bears lost last year in Week 18 didn't really matter, right? It was fun for Bears fans. They got to clown us, whatever. But we were going to the playoffs. They weren't. The Browns loss was discouraging, and it made you go, ouch. But you thought, okay, well, this will be a wake-up call. It's early enough in the season. It's only October. You know, a loss is a loss here, whatever. But then they did the same damn thing. And I know a caller brought this up earlier, but I led Mr. Irrelevant with this. This is a team that won the yardage battle by 104 yards. They were in the red zone 5 times versus Carolina's 3. They won time of possession. There was a couple other stats where they just outperformed, and they were 13.5-point favorites, yet they lost the football game.
They only scored 13 points.
And they only scored 13 points. So you could be down on the defense and their lack of getting off the field, but they only allowed 16 points. That should be good enough to win a football game in the NFL.
Especially against the Panthers.
Yeah.
Who you saw in recent games give up some
40
big points.
Yeah, 40 last week.
Chris chimes in on the Carbless Talk and text line. I think this is very fair. Kyle's still in his feels. Taking it out on Strofe because he doesn't know how to handle his emotions.
No, I was so upset when I saw that. Because Strofe and I are supposed to be like the Packer backers. And seeing Strofe just type in, he wrote it multiple times too. And I was just like, stop it, Strofe. Why do you want him to post something to dance on our grave?
I'm with Chris here. I think you need to work on him.
Yeah, you're lashing out.
Yeah. No, on everyone else.
I was legitimately mad because I was looking at the text. I'm like, what is he? He doesn't even make sense with the text.
All right, behind
did you like my tweet? Did you like it?
Did I like it on social media?
We're
I didn't like it in
on Twitter.
Didn't like it on Twitter, nor do I like it in human life person. No, I hate it. I hate everything about it. I hate that it's sitting in my phone right now with you, big L on your chest. I hate it all.
Do you want to explain what it is?
Yeah. So there's a picture of me playing for Carolina, Strofe alongside of Will Summers and Maddie Hayes, a lot of our content team, made it so that my number 8 that I wore for the Panthers was a big L. And ESPN Milwaukee Twitter account was going to post that if and when the Packers went ahead and beat the Panthers. But that didn't happen. So I grabbed that picture, posted it on my socials, and was just appalled at the disrespect of photoshopping me and putting a big L on me because I know the Packers.
Dude, you're a walking L, Doug.
I am. You never won a championship. Second place, Brad. That's true. there was some irony in that.
Let's wash that away, though.
Yeah, that's right. Because if you're like me, you got to wash that out from inside and out. And Tsunami Express Car Wash is the only place where you can get that deep clean that your car deserves. I mean, after all, you spend so much money on that car, purchasing it, maintaining it. You want to look good in it, and you want to take care of it to make it last. And Tsunami Express is the only car wash that is worthy of your car. I mean, tell me what other car wash has T2 with graphene. That's the best package and the best wash that you can find on the market. That's just a fact. And if you want to give it a test run, then you can get yourself a free wash. That's right. All the Tsunami Express across Milwaukee is offering a free wash when you sign up online for your first wash at TsunamiExpress.com. It's a $25 MVP caliber car wash loaded with gloss, protection, all the extras like a vacuum and do-it-yourself detailing supplies. Tsunami Express is going to make you feel like you just rolled that car right off the lot. So I want you to experience everything that Tsunami Express has to give you and your car, and how Tsunami Express can help you wash, chill, repeat with Tsunami Express.
Starting to realize, I think Kyle just has it out for Strofe. More next.
What?
This is Kyle Brosten Nortman, KBN.
And that Alex Strofe, you look like you had something to say.
Brewers!
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
You're living in darkness if you do not have the ability to do the things you want to do. especially when it comes to joint pain in your knees, your hips, your shoulders, or your back, do not stay on the injury report of life. And QC Kinetics is here to make sure that you are able to live a pain-free life and able to do all the things you want to do. Luckily, the QC Kinetics locations right here in the Milwaukee area are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. They use natural healing factors to help restore and repair that damaged tissue, reduce inflammation, and relieve pain at its source, all with no surgery, no pain pills, no long recovery, just your body remembering that feeling of being healthy once again. This is a long-term solution at the hands of qualified medical professionals who are the nation's leader in this type of medicine that's going to spearhead your pain relief at the cellular level. It's amazing what I've seen when I've been to QC Kinetics, and it's even more amazing what all their satisfied patients say when they talk about their pain relief and their experience with QC Kinetics. You could be next. So your free consultation is waiting for you just on the other side of this phone call to QC Kinetics today at 414-240-2298. That's 414-240-2298. 414-240-2298.
Brent chimes in. Can everyone accept the fact that the Packers are just mid? We need to stop thinking they are a championship-caliber team. To be a championship-caliber team, you need a great coach, solid leadership on the field, and killer instinct. Packers have none of the above. Now, it's been Russ, Kyle Wallace, and Brad Nortman. Brad, you made it to a Super Bowl, so you've been in a locker room that the team won the NFC Championship game, and you played in a Super Bowl. To your calculation, do the 2025 Packers have a championship caliber team?
No, they do not. Not what I'm seeing.
That was quick, easy.
Every championship team I was ever a part of, particularly my time in the NFL, there was no doubt on identity. There was no doubt on who your weapons were. There was no doubt on what the strengths and weaknesses of your team were. But you approach each game with an utmost level of confidence that there was just little doubt going into any game. Now, our team for Carolina Panthers was slightly different, being 15-1, so we didn't really have many game letdowns like what the Packers just experienced yesterday. But every Super Bowl team that I can think of in recent memory, could be the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles or the great Patriots teams or whatever, there was elite quarterback play. There was a great coach with a palpable culture, full of discipline, great defenses that you just wondered how we're going to move the ball on them, and they work together symbiotically to where it's hard to find a chink in the armor. With this Green Bay Packer team, that's not the case, at least not at this point, 8 games into the season. You got an inconsistent quarterback who shows moments of greatness, but he's inconsistent. You've got an indecisive head coach. You've got a lack of culture. You can't get the running game going. And the one thing that I think your defense does have is a pass rush that's able to take over for a questionable secondary. But you're proving you can't stop the run consistently. And if Micah Parsons is getting double or triple team, who are we really confident in to get pressure on the quarterback? So there's just too many issues right now for me to say, oh yeah, this is a Super Bowl team. If this is a Super Bowl team, they're going to have to morph into something that they're currently not right now that's reflective of Super Bowl teams.
And is that possible through 8 games, 9 weeks?
Oh, no, probably not. It's nothing short of a miracle, because this doesn't look like a Super Bowl team. And, you know, short of Jordan Love playing like a legit MVP. I'm talking legit MVP. You're resurrecting Favre and Rodgers to a certain degree. I don't see how this team can do it.
The majority of our conversation would say that the man in charge is part of the reason why he's being held back. Kyle, do you spot any lies in what Brad
said? I mean, I don't spot too many lies. I guess for me, I asked Brad, do you see any potential for this roster growing, right? Like, obviously, the run game, stopping the run had been a problem in this last game for the Green Bay Packers. The offense inconsistencies in the quarterback play, and you need a quarterback to play at an extremely high level to win a Super Bowl. But do you see any room for improvement where this team can go from a playoff team to a legitimate Super Bowl contender?
Well, that's what's interesting about this roster, right? Because I think before the season, we've seen moments where this team looks like they could be playing at an elite level. We've seen elite quarterback play out of Jordan Love. We've seen an elite Micah Parsons. And we're still waiting on running the football, but this team is not devoid of talent, right? Which a lot of teams can't say that. However, putting it together has served to be a challenge, and I can't understand why. And I think that's where you go to coaching, of putting these pieces together. But the players need to be able to step up, make better decisions, and actually execute. Because when it comes to running the football to me feels like pure level of execution. When you scheme up a play, everybody is accounted for some degree. Mm-hmm. So if you're not running the football, it's because your O-line is not blocking the way they should be, or maybe your running back isn't having the vision.
Well, Jacobs did well yesterday, 5 yards per carry.
Okay, it was a little bit of a step forward, but still not a strength how it should be a strength, especially in Matt LaFleur's offense. So yes, they could take that step, but we were waiting for that step to be taken in the offseason. We thought this would be an arrival of sorts after this team grows up, matures. They've been through the fire of postseason and big games. So the fact that you're still dealing with the same issues is frustrating, especially when last year you could look at it and say, you know what, Jordan Love was hurt, and they lost to good teams. They beat good to bad teams. So they're right there. They're knocking on the door. They've played one really good team in the Detroit Lions. They beat them, which is pretty impressive. But the play down to these opponents, it's not reflective of a championship
it's
team.
Just so, I guess it's so hard to wrap your mind around it because they didn't punt yesterday, right? Like, you had an interception, turnover on downs, and you're able to move the football and, you know, drives that were, you know, 9 plays, 10 plays, 11 plays, 12 plays. It's just, you know, puzzling of why this football team just couldn't find a way to finish drives. I guess that's what makes it so odd. Is like, it's not like it was just 3 and out where they have had games where they had multiple 3 and outs. It's just puzzling yesterday.
It's also puzzling, as you just brought up, and something I guess I hadn't thought about, was last year our knock on the team was they can't beat good teams. And we kind of got to throw that narrative out the window after week one of this year when they just slaughtered Detroit.
And followed it up with Washington. We thought we were
going to with Washington.
Washington stinks.
Yeah, no,
did you watch them last night? Look at the TV right there. They're replaying the game.
More injuries, more old.
Look at the TV.
Jane Daniels is playing too.
38-7 last night.
Again, I was just saying week two, that was what
we thought it was a better win than it was. But regardless, week one specifically, I think we looked at that and we went, whoa, okay, this team's got another level of swagger this year.
Yep, they cured their issue.
They can't beat bad teams now.
Which is worse.
It makes no sense.
It really doesn't.
It makes
no
sense.
Because you saw how they got up last week against Pittsburgh, and I think we would all agree, Pittsburgh, who beat Indianapolis, best record in football yesterday. Pittsburgh's a better team than Carolina, yes? Nobody's going to object to that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense.
That's the whole conversation today, is trying to make sense of the inconsistencies. It all goes back to LaFleur right
you
now.
You asked me what kept me up at night. I like puzzles. Okay, I'm a puzzle guy. I play all the New York Times puzzles. I play my LinkedIn puzzles. I like puzzles. I like solving things.
Can't solve this one right now.
We do these strength finders for our job. They tell you what your number one strength is. My number one strength is I'm a restorative human. I like problem solving.
It's not curiosity and follow-up questions?
that was a good pop by you. That's probably right up there, too. Probably right up there. But I can't figure this team out at all. Right, I mentioned the Tucker Kraft injury, I think, is so detrimental to their long-term success. They could still win a playoff game.
You know what's a good point about you making about the Tucker Kraft thing? Is he was like the one piece where you know what
you know what
was.
You're going to get. Well, yeah. At least on the offense.
An identity.
At least on the offense. Yeah, totally agree. So.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. A definitely tough loss. But something you can get is great Windows. With Universal Windows Direct, and I'm telling y'all, when I made that call to Universal Windows Direct, they were able to come to my house. They were able to give me a consultation. And the installation, all it took was a couple hours, and bada boom, bada bang, my beautiful windows are in my house. I want you to have that exact same feeling. If you or someone in your house is thinking about upgrading, hey, look no further than Universal Windows Direct. All you got to do is call them at 414-410-2000 or visit them at universalwindowsdirect.com and they'll come in for your free in-home estimate. They'll let you know that the windows are fantastic, they're energy efficient, but more importantly, they'll let you know when you buy 2 windows, you get 2 free, and then on top of that, they'll let you know you can get 0% financing for 36 months. Yep, and a bonus they'll give you is $500 off your next home improvement project. So if you're thinking about upgrading your windows, look no further than Universal Windows Direct by visiting them at universalwindowsdirect.com to schedule your free in-home estimate, and like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
Hopefully Brian Bulaga, the Super Bowl champ, can help Strofe solve his puzzle. Next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
I text Greg Scalzo, and I say, Greg, I'm sorry, I'm going to be late to work. I'm caught in an international conspiracy.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Joining us now on Kyle Bruston Nortman to solve Alex Strofe's puzzle. Strofe, do you want to tee Brian up with your puzzle that you're trying to figure out?
I could try. I mean, it's effectively this, Blue. I'm a puzzles guy, right? So I like playing the New York Times crosswords and Wordle and stuff like that. I love puzzles. I love problem solving. And the Packers, for me, every year, I view it as a puzzle. I try to figure out exactly who they are, exactly how good they are. Last year, we kind of knew they were a good team who would beat bad teams, but they probably don't match up that well to really good teams. See the Vikings, the Lions, and the Eagles, 0-6 last year. This year, they're beating good teams, they're losing to bad teams, they're tying mediocre teams. I can't figure them out at all, and now their best weapon on offense is out for the season. It's all bad.
Help him.
Yeah, I wish I could. I wish I had more to help you out with. That game Sunday was ugly. I mean, that's like the best way to describe it. It was ugly, and I had a feeling, and I mean, I talked to Homer about this too. And I think it was Thursday. I said if they allow Carolina to hang around in the first half, we're going to see Cleveland. We're going to see Cleveland again, and unfortunately, that's what we saw. Right, like you gave Carolina a ton of confidence, letting them hang around in the first half. That they played exactly the way they wanted to play Carolina. It was the perfect game for them. The running back played phenomenally. They ran the ball. They controlled it. They shortened that football game down perfectly. Carolina, that game felt so quick in the first half that I think Green Bay maybe had like 3 or 4 possessions, if that. That first quarter was over in a blink of an eye. So Carolina played the perfect game, and Green Bay just they played the furthest thing from it. And you lose your best offensive weapon, in my opinion. Obviously, I think they have some great offensive weapons, but you lose your best offensive weapon, and now you're going to have to find ways to get the offense. And obviously, Golden too. I have no idea what happened to him. You know. With the shoulder, you have no clue what's going on with it. But now you're going to have to find ways to get this offense going again. And it's not going to get any easier Monday night, right? Like, it's not going to be easy Monday night with Philly, and they just signed that kid from Miami, another pass rusher. So, going to have to turn things around quick, right? Going to have to turn things around quick. And as Alex, you always say, this isn't a get-right game against Philly. You don't really get right against Philly, as they say.
Really
for you on that one.
But like I do want to know, because there's been a lot of talk about this offensive line and the lack thereof consistency and cohesiveness and Jordan Morgan not being very good in some of these games. I mean, what are you seeing from the standpoint? Are they ever going to come around to be a better pass protecting and open up holes more consistently for Josh Jacobs?
Well, I think Jordan Morgan struggled a little bit against Carolina. I mean, what's the big D tackle name? Brown, I think his name is. Guy's huge. I mean, he's a really good player too. Our interior struggled with him, period. To be honest with you, we struggled against that guy, period. Everyone did. No one really did a good job against him. A lot of holding penalties, didn't really move him in the run game. I mean, Jacobs averaged, I think it was around 5 yards a carry. I think it was 17 for 86. But my question is, like, if that's going well, right, we're running the football well, why didn't we do it 27 times? Why didn't we do it 30 times? That's my biggest question. So I think the O-line, they can do better. I think they have to do better. But when you throw the ball 37, almost 40 times a game, listen, man, quarterback's going to get pressured. That's the nature of it. When you throw the ball 40 times a game, the quarterback's going to get pressured. That's the reality of it. That's life. That's going to happen. So they need to get better. We know that. But things overall in offense have to get better, because 13 points or whatever it was, that's just not going to get it done.
Brian, quickly before we let you go, what was it like bouncing back in the middle of the season from JaMychal Finley?
What was it, bouncing back?
Didn't he get hurt for the rest of the season, the middle of the year?
When he got hurt against Cleveland?
Yeah.
It was tough, man. It's hard to replace explosive, dynamic players like that. It just is. It's hard to replace guys like that. They bring a certain thing to the offense that
another guy doesn't have to. If you had another guy like that, you know what I mean? They'd both be on the field at the same time, right? And it's hard to have one of those guys, let alone two. So you have to now try to scheme and find another way to bring that type of element into the offense, and it's just difficult to do.
We'll learn more in 2 minutes with Homer. Homer Hour with Brian Belaga next. Is the show beyond-